Hey, everybody. Golf Show. Brett Gunning, Sam McKee here. Always happy to be with you and always happy to tell you that the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Sammy McKee, I don't know about you. I'm still basking in the afterglow. Brooke Henderson's second career major. I can't believe she got it done. I'm so happy she got it done. Clutch bird on 18. What more can you say about our girl Brooke getting it done a week later and I'm still riding high?
For sure. Me too. I'm thrilled that she got it done, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Sandra Post about it, legendary Canadian golfer, to talk about her win. I think that what it says most to me is not only on the PGA Tour on the men's side, but the LPGA Tour on the women's side, obviously, of how hard it is to win. Because she's won, was that her 12th win, right, Gunnar? She's got her 12th win, and that's a great number. It's obviously two more than any other Canadian golfer's ever won. And I think now she sort of solidified herself as the GOAT of Canadian golf, which is crazy to say as a 24-year-old. But it just shows that she's such a great player, and she's always around leaderboards, and she's always in the mix for stuff. And I think I forget which one was it. She lost in a playoff in one major, if I'm not mistaken. It's just really hard to win these babies, so you have to cherish your opportunity. You have to really put the hammer down when you get a chance to do it. And she found a way last Sunday to do it. Boy, it was not easy. It was a grind up and down the whole way. You know, the three putt, a four putt, didn't have the lead for a bit, was behind, made a couple birdies, a clutch one on 18 to finish it off. But man, just an absolute grind for her, and she pulled it off, and I'm so, so happy and pleased that she did.
Yeah, I am. And you just reminded me about that. It wasn't a playoff. It was the 2020 ANA Inspiration, and they had that dumb blue wall right behind the green. Yeah, you just had to hit a dinger off the monster at Fenway there, and then you set yourself up for a two putt.
Didn't her ball like scoot under it?
Yeah, it was an awful break. I cannot remember the particulars of it, but yeah. And it's funny, you know, I'm not going to put myself on the Adam Stanley level. He is our nation's foremost chronicler of Brooke Henderson. But as far as appreciators go, McKee, you know I'm up there.
Definitely.
I was talking with everybody about this, and that was the thing that people kept bringing up to me. People who don't follow it as closely. You know, I'm doing shows, Sportsnet Today is here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and that's the topic is, well, is it weird that it's only two? And we play this game all the time, right? It's you and I did it with Morikawa. We do it with Scheffler. We did it with Matsuyama when he won the Masters a couple of years ago. And the number for all of these guys, or in Brooke Henderson's case, all these girls, when we set the number, it's almost always 1.5 or 2.5, because winning majors is so hard. And yeah, if you would have told me back when she was winning one, when she was, I think, 19 years old or 20 years old, that yeah, I would have thought maybe she'd have three or four by now. But man, the fact that she's got this at 24, and it's just, why would it stop anytime
soon? She would have been 18, right? Because it's 2022 and she won her last one in 2016, right?
Yeah.
No, 2017? Yeah, that's crazy. So she was young. Needless to say, she was very young, which looking back is an crazy accomplishment for her to do that. And yeah, I loved how we came on the golf show last week, or was it when we were doing morning show, and we were talking about how high the scores were and how it was too high. And then everyone just came kind of back down. Like because she went 64-64, right? The only player to ever do that in LPGA history at a major. And then they came back down to earth when the going got tough. So yeah, it was impressive.
Yeah, we were living and dying with it, and it started out dying, right? Like, she bogeys one, and court is already off to a hot start, two under through three. The lead is gone really, really early on in the round. And for any player like that who is still trying to kind of tack on these things, it's only her second career major. I can only imagine how fast the wheels start spinning, and she did not have her best game, like far, far from it, on that Sunday. But the fact that she was able to kind of right the ship, she hit her speed wobble early on, and then she kind of found her game. And what do we always say about the greats is that when it comes down to it at the end, you know, we think about it with Tiger. How many days was he not at his absolute best, but needs a bird on 18, finds a way? And that's exactly what Brooke did. Just the fact that it's par five. Yes, it was a par five playing the easiest hole of the tournament. So you better get your bird there. But she did. And nobody else she was playing with was able to do so. So it's just, man, I'm so happy for her that she has that moment.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that you could tell, I mean, her best club in the bag for the entire tournament, by far her driver, just mm-hmm. striping everything. You know, the her shot tracker, shot tracer was just lovely all week, just pounding drive. And then, you know, she's standing over on the 18th tee, and you're like, oh, well, you know, she'll hit a good drive here. And then just dock hook, like, I don't even know what that was. It was too fast. She just kind of gets a good break, even lays it up to her number, makes a great shot, makes a putt. But it just shows, even, like, the greats, even people, like you said, like, winning a championship, winning a major championship is incredibly hard. And she was obviously shaken over that on the tee a little bit. She's like, my driver's been great. I can lean on this. And it jumps out and goes left. And she ends up making the birdie, obviously. But, yeah, it just shows. The nerves are there.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you're right. The nerves were there. The other thing I think is interesting about Brooke, too, is, like, I don't know how many people realize this, is that she's had to change. You mentioned the driver's her biggest weapon. It's always been that way for her throughout her entire career. She was somebody who, I'm not going to say she Brysoned it up, but she tested the limits. She had one of the long drivers. Yeah. They told her you got to cut a couple inches off that thing, and it did affect her game for a little bit. But the fact that they take the tool that she uses best out there, better than anybody else, and she's still able to find a way to get it done there. It's just, man, it's incredible. And the other thing I want to say about this, and I've talked about this on other platforms as well, but I think it's really important to hammer home, is that when she won the first major, when she was whatever it was, 19, 18, 20 years old, somewhere in there, it's in the throes of, I'm pretty sure, like an NFL Sunday. There's a lot going on that's happening. It did kind of get swallowed up in the moment. Not to get down my rabbit hole, as she never gets her due.
Oh, here we go.
But that one got lost a little bit. It put her on the radar, but it didn't put her over the top. Her winning the CP Women's Open, which should have been an incredible moment. We've been waiting how long for a guy to do it? And it was an awesome moment when she did it. But there was a snowstorm in Regina, so they had to push up the tee times. And she did it at like 8 in the morning wearing a snowsuit. And I don't think people were ready and realizing that it was happening. But because this is the time it was always scheduled, because it was a lazy Sunday morning, kind of in this doldrum, it was right around the All-Star break in baseball. I think a lot of people just found themselves, even people who wouldn't have thought they would have cared, found themselves getting caught up in it. And even me, a guy who loves to complain about how little due she gets, I think she finally got some. And I'm so happy to see that. This felt like much more of a breakthrough moment for her. The first one felt like, hey, I'm here. The second one is like, I'm here to stay, and you all know who I am now.
For sure. And was it you that said it about the Olympic medal?
No, that's Stanley's take, yeah, and he nailed it.
That's the exact thing. Like that, I mean, listen, I think she's crossed over now. I think she's wildly popular in this country, especially amongst young women for golf, which is incredibly important, especially for all the work that Golf Canada, that we've been seeing them over the past month, you know, the announcement that they made at Weston about all the money that's going mm-hmm. into the program and the Golf Canada development at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, all the stuff that's going into that. What's most important for them in the development is having the people at the top succeed, and having Brooke Henderson now being a two-time major champion and winning on tour and having her still be so young, that's so, so big for the game of golf in the country and just the development, and having people see it, having young women see it, like, it's attainable. If you care, like, Golf Canada is putting all they can out there for them to be able to do it. Kevin Blue and company doing an unbelievable job with that. So I love the fact that the people at the top, the people that, you know, are playing and kind of have to sort of inspire this group, are doing it. That's a massive part of this development.
Well, it's the thing about Mike Weir, right? Him winning the Masters, that always promised a generation of Canadians that we're now seeing. Brooke Henderson, part of that generation. Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Mac Hughes, Nick Taylor, Svensson, all of the, Roger Sloan, Michael Glick, like, we can go down and down the list. They're all part of that Weir generation.
The Weir wave.
The Weir wave. And here's the thing, that now when you double that up, when you follow that up with another generation, and we haven't had the breakthrough on the men's side, but the fact that Brooke has become this popular and she's been able to do it, this is how you know, Canada's goal, I think, when they look at, they said they want to have 30 players on tour by 2030, I believe it is, on the men's and women's tour, and the kind of countries that do that kind of thing, that's Australia, that's South Africa, and the way you follow up, think about all the great South Africans there have been kind of over the years in this wave now. You follow up one great wave with the next one, and and that's how we get the great future of Canadian golf. And again, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. The next Mac Hughes is 1,000% coming out of Caledon on that 30,000-foot putting green that they're putting in up at TPC. Brooke, we're so proud for you. We're so happy. And like I said, we'll talk to Sandra Post in just a couple of minutes' time here about all that. I know you had a couple other things you wanted to get to. Do you have any living it up takes for us today? I won't chastise you. I'm going to keep my wood spoon over here. I'm not going to tut you. If you
maybe
just want to...
Maybe I deserve a little pee-pee whack for what Liv's doing today. But, you know, it's just... The Trump Association, like, it's tough. And that's all I'll leave it at. It's
okay.
Hey, no further comments or questions at this time. Okay. I'm just trying my best to not live too much in it. But, you know, the association, once the tournament starts, I'm actually looking forward to watching it. Once the tournament starts, I'm into it. But the Pro-Am today with Donald J. and Eric is a tough look for my tour. That's for sure.
Okay. I actually, for once, we both agree on something related to Liv. So we can just move on and not, I won't browbeat you to death my morals today. To be continued, literally 1 week from today. So and any time we're on the golf course together. So, what other gripes do you have?
Well, this isn't, I don't necessarily want to throw anybody completely under the bus here because I love the Toronto City courses. I'm a massive, you know, advocate for them. As you know, I talk about how much I love them. I play Humber Valley all the time. I play Don Valley all the time. I play Tam O'Shanter. I love them. So I went yesterday to Don Valley and played. And let me tell you, it is in unbelievable shape. The greens are rolling beautifully. It's just a nice color of green. Everything. It's just so, so nice. It's an incredible spot to have in the heart of the city. Having said all that, I had a friend come in from out of town and he didn't have his clubs. And so I had to, I was like, can we rent clubs? I called ahead. Yep. I was like, you have a lefty set of clubs. He needs a set of clubs to rent. And I was like, yeah. So I called and they said, yeah, we have a lefty set. No problem. And the set that they gave him, it's really not good. Like, I have to say, like, I don't know how much they get, you know, people renting clubs at a city course. I know you mentioned that to me when we were chatting about this, that maybe it's not a ton of people rent. But all the more reason to go out to anywhere and just get a half-decent set of clubs. The clubs that he rented were objectively awful. Like, he had to use my clubs half the day. So I love Don Valley. I love our city courses. But my little gripe is the rental clubs were horrible. Like, the lowest club in the world was a pitching wedge. Like, you got to give somebody a gap or a 60 or a 52 or something. It was not a great set, and I was a little bit disappointed with that. Other than that, Don Valley is in tip-top shape, and I highly, highly recommend heading out there anytime for the next few weeks.
I hadn't got out to Don Valley until earlier this year. I got out with, and I say it all the time, that's the most superstar day I've ever had on the golf course. And, like, we've played with superstars and stuff, but Nick Kyprios and Justin Moore at Don Valley, great, great foursome there. It was my first time back at Don Valley in a long time, and I used to live literally right around the corner from there. So I played it a ton, but, yeah, it was great to get back out there. That's my thing on it. I'm trying to think. I have golfed at Toronto City courses. Humber Valley is where I grew up. It's where I learned to play the game, because nowhere deserves to have that distinction foisted upon them. But that's where I first started playing. And I have been in I've played every one but Dentonia. I cannot think off the top of my head if I have ever heard a person in there asking about a rental set.
I guess that's fair.
I think that's just what it is. But here's the thing. Look, this is all, it's all in what a city prioritizes and what happens. We know how tight the purse strings are around these things. And yeah, if there was like $300 in petty cash and they could go to play it against sports, I think that would be a lovely idea.
So maybe, and if there's a somewhere listening to this that's got a few extra clubs floating around, they want to donate to a great city course that, you know, tons of people play at, please do. Because the old strikers were not doing the job for my boy Joshy. Let's just say that.
I am now just picturing the wave, because, you know, we're huge in the community.
Oh, yes.
The wave of people bringing all of their old sets, and there's some guy at Don Valley who's like, I didn't sign up for this.
This is not what
I
want.
What's going on? What's happening here? So, yes, please do. Don Valley, hold Sam McKee responsible for any storage issues you may have now. Man, that's great. I love that you get your gripe in there. I got to get back out to Don Valley. That place tortures me every time I'm there. Not really suited for your boy's game, but I absolutely love.
I had a psycho scorecard. I had a psycho scorecard there. I had four doubles on the front nine and shot an 81. I had in my last 14 holes, I had 13 pars. So it was a wild day on the old course there, but I love it there. But yeah, anyways, that's all my gripe for today. My only golf gripe.
That's incredible. And wow, that's maybe the most incredible thing, that between the two of us, we only have one thing to complain about.
Correct.
And it's you doing the complaining. Yeah. Wow. What is happening? Worlds are truly getting reversed here. As I mentioned, going to talk to Sandra Post right now just about what's going on with Brooke Henderson. Very, very pleased to welcome Sandra into the golf show here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Golf show continuing here. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee, very, very happy to be joined by a Canadian golf icon, Sandra Post, joining us now. Sandra, thank you so much for taking the time. We're all still so excited about Brooke, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, that was a great win. Her second major, not only for herself, but for Canada, and great accomplishment this past week.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, Brooke is somebody who, it's funny, she's still so young and she's been a part of our lives for so long. The fact that this is her second major, you know, she's done just about everything you could ask somebody to do in the game. She's won the CP Women's Open. The fact that she's now won a couple of majors, perennially in the top 10. I mean, you obviously played this game professionally for a long time. You've watched Canadian golf. We all had sky high expectations of Brooke, but did you see her kind of reaching these peaks this early?
I think so. You know, she's really a very determined, a very a calm, but a very driven golfer, athlete. I think you know, when you watch her, you can see she sees the finish line, and she's got great nerve, and she's steely, and she's a steely competitor, and those competitors around her know that. And you know, she's always had great flair in that, you know, she can make a lot of birdies in a row. She can go low. She's not afraid, you know, to make more birdies. And even when she had a four putt this past week, you know, it was a hiccup, but it didn't upset. She could have gone south at that time, but she didn't. And, you know, she really does stay the course.
So, Sandra, what impresses you most about Brooke Henderson's game?
It's not her game. It's her. She is very composed. She's very driven. She really wants it. And, you know, it's a homemade golf swing. She overswings the golf. But she figured a way. I mean, they took the longer driver away from her this year because the rules changed. But, she's figured a way to get that ball out there and stay with, you know, the women that really drive it naturally long, okay? The 6 feet, you know, tall Nelly Korda's out there, okay? She figured that out. You know, she has a weakness. It might be her putting, but it only has to be warm because she hits a lot of greens in regulation. So, you know, she's going to win because of herself, because of her heart, because of her, she knows how to score. It's just a term we use in golf. It doesn't always have to look pretty at all. It doesn't always have to be the perfect golf shot. She knows how to make a number. And that's great today, because today a lot of the golfers are so concerned of making the perfect golf swing and the perfect looking golf shots. But she just scores. She just shoots that number, which is hard to catch when you shoot 64s.
Yeah, especially two of them in a row to start a major.
Right.
And that, I love that you mentioned the driver, because that to me just kind of highlights exactly who she is. You're going to throw her a curveball. You're going to take away what's what is her biggest advantage out there. And she just, a little hiccup, of course, when you make the equipment change, that's going to happen. But ever since she's figured it out, boy, oh boy, has she figured it out. And then, like you mentioned about, you know, you start with a three putt, you have a four putt in there. She snap hooks her drive on 18 and still finds a way to make birdie. That's what stood out to me, is just the fact that on a day where clearly she did not have her best game, and it was more than good enough to win, it's not like she was really fighting it out there, but just for the highs that she can reach, the fact that she was able to kind of right the ship, and I love the way you put that, of just scoring, and that goes to her makeup as well. And, you know, I even think about how she was when she finally holes the final putt, and there's no big fist pump, there's no big celebration. She just goes over, and it looked like she was congratulating Brittany for winning the major, not taking in that she had just won it herself. And I think that all just goes into who she is. And I love that you highlighted that, Sam.
You know, and she's a humble athlete. There's no question about it. And they actually looked really happy out there this week playing. There have been weeks I have seen that, you know, I know them enough and I've seen them enough that they won't look so happy out there. I mean, when you're out there for 8 years, you know, you sometimes, there are some weeks you got to figure out, what am I doing here? So, you know, you have to figure a way how to be sort of, as we say, hungry, and you want it, and to just keep digging deep, right? But this week, they actually looked happy out there, Brittany and Brooke is what I'm referring to. And I think they had fun. They had fun. You know, it was a funny golf course. It's built on the side of the Alps there, and it slopes always to that, you know, to the lake, and it's a, it, you must always, you know, you just have Mount Goat, you know, walking it, and it's, yeah, aim left to hit it, end up right, and the greens, you must have a headache by the time you finish, but anyway, you just kind of, you know, other ones are going to get in trouble too. So you just kind of keep going, and that's, she has tremendous perseverance. So you asked me what her strength was, it's not even her game, it's herself.
Yeah, so I agree with you about the weird lies and stuff. In my game, which I am nowhere near as good as anybody on a professional tour, but those side hill lies and those downhill lies, they always really, you know, they just screw with my head a little bit, Sandra. So I just was so impressed with the way she was able to sort of navigate those. Those are really kind of hard shots to pull off.
Well, not when you've done them all your life.
I know.
Okay,
I've done them my whole life, too, but I still can't hit them, Sandra.
I know, but you don't practice, number one. We live here in southern Ontario. We don't have such lies, really. So, you know, it's like all the students I teach, you know, they don't get it either because you don't go out and practice it. You're on a driving range, you know, a nice flat piece of land. But then, all of a sudden, the golf course isn't. So, yes, you have, and that's the great challenge of golf. You have to adjust to every shot.
So a couple things there. Don't listen to Sam McKee. He doesn't even like the driving range. So even if they did have uneven lies there, he can't complain about not being able to hit it. And aiming way left for the ball to go right. Tell me all about that. That sounds like you're describing my game there, Sandra. Just you talking about hearing people working. I remember we had Lori Kane on the show a few years ago, and I asked her for a great piece of advice. If you had one for whether it be somebody who is struggling with their game or somebody who is a mid-handicap trying to improve, if there's one piece of advice you could give them, what would it be, Sandra?
Well, I don't care if you're a beginner or you're a good player. I mean, one of the best in the world. I mean, these players that we're talking about right now on the LPGA Tour, it always goes back to basics. And I know it sounds boring, but if your grip isn't good and your alignment and your setup and your posture isn't good, guess what? You've got no chance. So, you know, find a teacher that really believes in good basics. Then you'll have a good starting point, and you can grow from there. Because without it, you aren't going to get better, and especially to the men like yourselves. You're good athletes. You've got good eye-hand coordination. But unless you have good basics, you may have the good shot, of course. But you're never really going to grow and get better without good basics.
That's great advice, Sandra. And the last one I have for you before we let you go here is Brooke Henderson the best Canadian golfer of all time?
Well, I don't think it's ever fair to compare eras.
Okay.
I am one of those. I think everybody rises to their own level in their own era. I won't even compare Nicklaus and Tiger anymore. You know, we're lucky to have had both of them, and we had Hogan before that. So, you know, for the time, you know, let's put it this way. Brooke has set the new bar, and all I say to the young ones coming behind her, go get her, because that's what we need. We need more young women that want to aspire to be the best in the world. And that's what she is, one of the best in the world. So, Brooke, you've got the bar. Really set it high and let a whole bunch of women, other Canadian women, you know, come behind, because they're being given a lot of opportunity today by Golf Canada and so many associations. So, it's out there to be a great golfer and go and set and go and try to catch Brooke Henderson.
I love that, Sandra, from one generation to the next. And look, you know, the Weir wave helped create the Brooke Hendersons of the world and the Connors that we're seeing now. And I'm sure there are a ton of kids being inspired by what Brooke's doing. And hopefully they can catch her. I'm sure she would love nothing more than that. Sandra, thank you so, so much for the time today. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And good luck with both of your golf games.
Oh, thanks, Sandra.
There we go.
I need it.
One of us needs it a little more than the other. There she goes, Sandra Post. Thank you so much. Oh, man, that was awesome. I think Sandra Post technically lied when she said we're great athletes. That part might have been a fib.
Thank you, Sandra.
I was floored. That's the first time anyone's ever said that about me.
And see if
thanks,
feel that
Dad.
Way.
Yeah, that was great. Love that chat with Sandra Post. Look, there's so much love to give to Brooke Henderson. I'm happy she got to do it.
Before we get – I gotta say, like, I've been screwy with the driver recently. I've been thinking about taking lessons. I've honestly been thinking about going to have somebody look at the old swing. The driver's terrible. I can't hit a drive.
Wow.
I'm playing every other part of my game is really sharp right now, Gunnar. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, my irons, my five wood, my putting, my chipping, everything is sharp. But I'm just playing from bad positions with the driver, and it's pissing me off. So
Does somebody know what that's like?
Yes, McKee? I know.
Talk
I'm preaching to the choir. I want to take a lesson from Sandra Post. I wonder what it costs to take a lesson from Sandra Post, because I feel like after that interview, she could help me out. I was fired up listening to her.
I mean, whether it's a lesson or just the first tee pep talk.
Yes.
Can you imagine her firing up a buddy's trip?
Sam. I'm like, oh, God. Okay, Sandra, I will.
Okay, all right. God, I will. Just electric. Love the personality. Just flying through here. We're going to talk to Jason Logan in just a second here. Going to get his thoughts on Brooke. Take a look at the Score Golf Top 100. Every year they do a Top 100. This is the Top 100 across all of Canada. The next rankings next year will be the Top 59 public courses, I believe it is. So love both of those lists. Very happy to break them down with Jason. We'll do that when we continue. And as always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Golf Show continues next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the Golf Show here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. As always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. In an exciting time for Canadian golf, very, very happy to welcome in our next guest, Jason Logan, editor of Score Golf. Of course, he puts together part of the team that puts together the wonderful Top 100 list. Jason, how are you doing today?
Good, boys. How's it going?
Doing well.
We're in the golf season. And look, we want to talk to you about this Top 100 list. We want to talk to you a little bit about Brooke Henderson. But I need to thank you. I need to have a debt of gratitude that I owe to you as my golf Sherpa at the RBC Canadian Open. You, whether you wanted to or not, you led me, myself and Sam McKee around the grounds. Somebody, a wonderful journalist by the name of Christina Rutherford, said, if you don't know where to be, just follow Logan. He definitely does. So I just want to thank you for standing in the right spots and letting me not look like too big of an idiot outside of when Tony Finau was hitting a big putt on 18. So thank you for that, Jason.
No problem. So are we going to tell everybody that the one day you had the wrong color of inside the ropes pass and got a little quick tongue lashing from the security guard? Or I can't help you there.
That was amazing. So I didn't realize I had to get a new badge the second day, and I'm standing there, and this guy, he had his own golf cart, which to me means he's very important. Borderline looked, he didn't grab me, but he looked like he was going to grab me by the scruff of my neck, get to the media center. And I did, and we were all good. But yes, a harrowing moment there. And there was nothing you or anybody else. I don't think Jack Nicklaus or Corey Connors or Brooke Henderson herself could have saved me in that moment.
Yeah, he was staring you down pretty good, but you're welcome. Once upon a time, I was out there for my first time. Once you get the lay of the land and you kind of know exactly where to stand on each green and got those inside the ropes pass, you just kind of look for the TV tower and hide and just make sure you're not blocking anybody's view and you're all good.
So what you're telling me, Logan, is being in Rory's back pocket for the most important putt of the tournament probably wasn't the greatest idea when I ended up on TV. I have never gotten more texts in my life. I looked at my phone after that. I had 50 text messages. It was like, oh, Jesus, what just happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, you were one of, 10, 12,000 people around that green. And you were just on the side that the TV cameras could see you. But that was an insane scene for sure.
Yeah, it was. And man, just that whole weekend, it was incredible. And Brooke winning that day, and to just kind of transition into before we get to the talk with the top 100 here, what an exciting weekend it was for us all last week with Brooke getting her second career major. You know, we've all had sky high expectations for her. She's lived up to them. She has them for herself. But it's incredible to see her get it done again. And now, you know, she's always been the winningest Canadian, or well, not always, but has been the winningest Canadian. But now she's the only one with a couple of majors. And it's incredible to see.
Yeah, and I think what was particularly impressive about that is she just really gutted out that win, right? She did not have her best stuff, obviously, on Sunday, certainly on the front nine, and she let the lead slip away. And yeah, I think at one point there was six women who were tied for the lead, and you're wondering if she was gonna throw it away, if she wouldn't be able to claw back. But then she just kind of gutted it out. And she found something down the back stretch, and obviously that's what great players do. When they have a lead and they don't necessarily have their best stuff, they find a way to get it done. Three birdies coming home, obviously, and a crucial putt after a bit of a fortunate break on the 18th hole when, you know, she got a bounce after snap hooking that drive and was probably lucky not to be in some trees or behind some trees, and was able to, you know, have a pretty open shot to lay up and then make that putt. It was just great, and probably a monkey off her back, because as good as she's been, it has been, you know, almost 8 full years before she had, or until she had won a major, right? So that was probably surprising, almost like Rory not winning a major for so long. It was surprising that Brooke hadn't, but now she's got that off her back, and she'll go for another major next week, and then she'll go for a major in her own heart when she's home at Ottawa.
That's awesome, for sure. And the thing I wanted to kind of bring up, and we were kind of kicking this around in our first segment, Logan, is that Golf Canada has all these incredible plans, and we've been at press conferences together over the past year with all the money that's being put in and all the development, you know, the TPC at Osprey Valley, they're building a whole new thing for Golf Canada, the plan, the action plan to get everybody on tour by 2030. But there's nothing that helps more than people on the tour at the highest level succeeding, and having Brooke Henderson succeeding like this, and she's still got so much career left in front of her, but having the people at the top succeeding is such a massive part of this for Canada Golf and Golf Canada.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, you just have, there's no better example of that in modern times than, you know, Mike Weir, obviously. And if you talk to Corey Connors or Matt Hughes or Adam Hadwin or Graham Dillette, all of these guys who have played on tour in the last decade, they all point to Mike Weir winning the Masters in 2003 when they were youngsters, and watching him and seeing what he did and inspiring them to get out there. So the same thing is happening now with Brooke Henderson. I mean, when you go to Ottawa, you'll just see 8 million little girls wearing visors, you know, mimicking Brooke Henderson. It's been like that however long she's been out on tour. And I think what's great about Brooke is she transcends Canada too. You know, it's not just like she's Canada's little darling. I mean, she is, but I get emails all the time from people across the U.S., you know, if she's not playing well, it's like, what's wrong with Brooke Henderson? And they're not Canadians. They're Americans, but they are big fans of her too. And she's obviously easy to be a fan of with her play and her personality. So you're right. It's, you know, there's no better way to inspire youngsters than somebody at the top winning. And I mean, again, it was just great to see her finally, you know, get another major and get that off her back. And maybe she can go on a little run here.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy you brought that up, because it is a very nice change. And, you know, I don't need to get into my gripe about the lack of Canadian men and there's the shots that I see of theirs on PGA Tour coverage. But it is a really nice change that Brooke Henderson isn't a part of the story, or she's not, you know, one of the golfers you're keeping an eye on. She goes into Sunday with the lead, and they're treating her like she's Tiger in her prime, and they should, because she is just a stalwart part of that tour. There must have been 70 Smith's Falls mentions in the final round of that broadcast, and I love Corey Connors, and I love Listowel, and I love Mac Hughes and Dundas, but I don't think those guys are getting that on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, it's just really nice to kind of see her properly get her due there in that respect.
As a small-town guy, I got to tell you, a mention on a broadcast of your town is one of the most electrifying moments of your life, so I can't tell you how excited they were in Smith Falls.
Yeah, they would have been so fired up.
The truth is, she's the first Canadian golfer who's a true superstar. You know, I mean, Mike Weir made it all the way up to number 3 in the world, but he was always seen, certainly from afar, as an underdog overachiever. I mean, he was a guy who flunked out of Q school seven times before he finally got his card and then flamed out in his rookie year and had to go back to Q school again. And I mean, I think if you look at Mike Weir's career, I mean, 8 wins, including a major, you might be able to say he overachieved because he was doing so in the Tiger Woods era. You know, the Big Five era was Tiger and Mickelson, and Ernie Els and Retief Goosen. I can't even think of who was Vijay Singh. So, I mean, Mike was always a great player and got all the way up to number 3 in the world, but nobody outside of Canada ever looked at him as a superstar. And nobody outside of Canada is looking at Corey Connors or Mac or Adam as superstars. Brooke Henderson is a superstar. You know, she's never made it to number 1 in the world, but she is a superstar. She plays with a certain flair. She's a North American girl in a game that's, you know, as international as there, a tour that's as international as there is in golf. And, you know, she's won big tournaments. You know, as a young girl, she won a major beating Lydia Ko in a playoff, just playing incredibly aggressive in that playoff at Sahali. And so I think that's the difference. You know, she's not just another player. She's a superstar. And she's somebody that the LPGA Tour wants to market around and has marketed around. So it's no surprise that she gets a lot of attention.
If I remember correctly, I don't know if it was in the playoff or it was on 18 or 17, but late at that championship against Lydia Ko, she goes driver off the deck, and she must do that more than any top player in the world. And that just goes to the style that you talk about there. I love that you bring that up. And the other thing quickly about how international the tour is, I need a women's version of the President's Cup where it's Brooke Henderson and all her friends taking on the Americans, but they don't want that smoke because it's a little different than the men's President's Cup there. So that's my dream golf event that we can get, and it feels to me like it's the Olympic Games. That's the last kind of thing for her to check off, getting an Olympic medal. I'm sure she would love to do it. We can't get you on and not talk with you. It's the whole reason we booked you, that Brooke Henderson goes and wins, and now we have that to talk about. But we got to talk about the top 100. It is a feature that I don't know if there's a golfer in Canada that doesn't have this circled, or at the very least get excited when they see that it's coming out. Top 100, you guys have been rolling it out all month long. Just for people who don't understand, can you kind of talk about what goes into that? How much are the amenities around the course? How much are the facilities important versus just the golf course and the condition the course is in itself?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because it helps me clear up a misconception in that there is no category for the top 100 on amenities. There's, you know, how great and grand the clubhouse is has no impact. How good the driving range is has no impact. How many Canadian Opens it has no impact. It's strictly a rating or a ranking of the golf course. So there is 9 different categories that our 102 panelists rate courses on. It's challenge, beauty, design, strategy, par 3 holes, par 4 holes, par 5 holes, conditioning, and fun factor. And fun factor carries the biggest percentage of the weighting. It carries a 20% weighting. Conditioning actually only carries a 5%. I know a lot of people like to judge golf courses just on how well they're conditioned, but this is a country in which most golf courses are only open 6 months of a year. You know, it's a big country to travel through. Our panelists are not always going to see courses in the greatest shape because maybe they're playing Jasper in June and it snowed 2 weeks before. So, and just from our perspective, we don't think conditioning is as important as it once was. Not every golf course has to be perfectly lush and green, especially in this day and age of environmental concerns and water restrictions and everything else. We put a lot of focus on the actual architecture of the golf course, the design, the strategy, the layout, the beauty, all of those things. So there's solely a ranking of the golf courses. There is other rankings out there that take more things into consideration. But, you know, I always say we're basically just assessing golf courses from the first tee to the 18th green.
So I guess with all that system, because my question was going to be, how do you sort of, you know, objectify the subjective in terms of, you know, everybody has a different eye when it comes to a golf course. Like for me, if I was making my list, Lakeview is number 5 in Canada. It's like, I love it so much, and not everybody's going to feel the same way. But I guess with the system and the way you kind of rank it, the way you kind of explained it there, that's sort of how you get past it being such a subjective thing.
Yeah. And for us, especially, like, we're trying to put together a ranking with a lot of different, opinions and insights. I mean, we have over 100 panelists, as I mentioned. They're all of different playing abilities. You know, we try to get as many across the country as we can. There are some spots in Canada where we don't have as much representation as I would like. But, I mean, when I'm putting somebody on the panel, I need them to be able to prove that they already have played a lot of the golf courses on the list and that they're going to have the means or the wealth or whatever it is to travel across the country and play all these and not just play all of the golf courses in and around Winnipeg, for example, but never come and see the golf courses in Toronto or never go and see the golf courses in Vancouver or Cape Breton or what have you. So it's certainly a large cross-section of people. They don't all think the same. You know, there's guys on our panel who I know favor the classics. There's guys on our panel and women on our panel who I know favor some of the more modern designs. But I think that what kind of separates us is that we are trying to put together a ranking of the 100 best courses in the country based on the opinions of a large collective of people and not just, you know, 10 or 15 people who think the exact same way.
That's good on you, because if I was remotely in charge of this product, I would rule with an iron fist and everyone would have to grovel before me for their rankings. And honestly, look, the thing that jumps out to me about this list, and it shouldn't shock anybody that the courses I'm about to mention in Cabot, both Cliffs and the Links and then Fairmont Jasper Park, they're all pricey, but these are all public courses. It does kind of jump out to me that in Canada, that three of our top five, and again, like, it is not necessarily accessible for everyone because of the location, because of the price tag, but the fact that these aren't, you know, gated courses that nobody can get to, the fact that three of the top five are out there, if you can afford it, it's kind of remarkable to me.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, with Cabot coming online in the last, whatever it's been now, 10, 12 years since Links first opened, I mean, it's a world-renowned resort, and I was fortunate enough to be out there just after the Canadian Open for a couple of days, filming stuff for the Top 100 release online, researching another story that's in the summer issue. So, the place is as good as it gets,
it's
right?
Ridiculous.
I mean,
it's
spectacular property. I mean, for anybody who's not, I mean, anybody who's a golfer in Canada, if they haven't at least seen photos of Links and Cliffs and they've been, you know, hiding under a rock for the last decade, but I mean, it's just, and I personally probably like Links better than Cliffs. You know, I just think Cabot Links is a true Links course and maybe a little more cohesive of a golf course. And, you know, maybe Cabot Cliffs for me it's certainly dramatic, but maybe, you know, almost too spectacular in a way. Like every hole is a hero shot hole. And there's a lot of, it asks a lot of you with some of the forced carry. So I actually prefer Links, but I mean, that's the great thing about when you produce a golf course ranking is everybody has an opinion. And trust me, everybody has an opinion, and I hear about them. And, you know, there's a lot of how in your right mind can you leave this course off your list? And I don't get angry at those emails. It just shows me that people are very passionate about golf courses in the country, and they're passionate about the golf course they play. And, yes, they're probably not as experienced as some of our raters, and they haven't seen, you know, the likes of St. George's or Toronto Golf Club or Cabot Cliffs or Highlands Links or what have you. But they're very passionate about their own golf course, and I just think that's great.
Yeah, I do as well. And look, we talked about this list. I know we're going to invite you on probably before the year's done, but definitely next year to talk about the top rankings for public courses, because I think it's awesome that you guys kind of touch on both ends of the game in that way.
And remember, Jason, if our standing offer, if you're looking for Raiders, you know, there's a couple guys.
Couple of guys. And with varying playing abilities, you got a righty, you got a lefty. Everything you could want is in the golf guys duo for you. We're kidding, yeah. But not really. Jason, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thanks, bro.
Really, really appreciate it.
All right, boys, enjoyed it.
There goes our pal, Jason Logan, editor at Score Golf. Again, it's amazing that he has the ability to not rule with an iron fist on that, because I would just be pounding the table. No, what I say goes. And it was funny about him saying we have the emails. We won't say who, but, you know, we've been lucky enough to get out to some courses over the past handful of years. We've heard a little, oh, they're ranked here. Among top 100 courses, the infighting is great as well. So, a lot of people have their opinions heard in this wonderful game, and I love it. Every year the top 100 comes out, there's courses that I've played. I'm seeing how much it's changed. It's such a fun exercise, and I'm thrilled they do it.
So last week on the morning show, we got the chance to talk to Trey Wingo, who was at Cabot.
That's
for,
right.
For a weekend or whatever, for a couple days. And the true golf guy, Wingo, said that he preferred links to cliffs. And I agreed. And then same with Logan. Logan said that links is a more true test of golf than the cliffs is. So just I, too, as a golf man, as a golf person, I, too, do have that opinion. I much prefer the links course. It's not nearly as spectacular. Don't get me wrong. It's unbelievably spectacular, but not like cliffs. Cliffs is in a different sort of conversation when it comes to that. So how many on the top 100 of the 2022 list, Gunner, do you have?
So I have, of the top 100, I have 13 of the top 100 here. I also have
two. Would you care to list them?
Yes, I would.
Okay, go for it.
I will start at number two this year, St. George's Golf and Country Club. Not bad, not
bad.
Very
good.
Hamilton Golf and Country Club.
Correct.
Both. Weston.
I have both of those. So we're
Weston Golf and Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
I have Devil's Pulpit.
That was a good day.
That was a wonderful, wonderful day with our pal John McCarthy. I have TPC. I mean, I have all three TPCs,
yes.
But I have TP3, The Hoot. I have Eagle's Nest,
mm-hmm.
Heathlands North, Copper Creek, Dundas Valley, which just snuck in this year, Segan Valley, and I believe this one dropped out this year, Glen Abbey
No, it was 91.
It was 91. Yeah. Okay, so still hanging in there. I also have a couple that have been honorable mentions. Oakdale, which I believe is still in that category, 108.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 103 when we played it a couple years ago. And then a place that I know is special, near and dear to our hearts, out in Guelph, Cutting Fields. Love that place. So there you go.
All right. Well, I have a very similar. We've played all those courses together, other than Sagan Valley. We didn't play together.
No, but that was Buddy's trip.
I will say that I am very proud to say that I have played 50% of the top 10 courses in Canada. It's an incredible achievement. Listen, I have been incredibly blessed to play some unbelievable golf. So I've played both the Cabot courses. I've played Hamilton, St. George, and I played the Paintbrush, which we're going to grease the wheels with John McCarthy to get out there to play at Gunner, because it is unbelievable. It's just such a cool spot. And the other ones that I've got, Weston, like you said, of Rocky Crest. I've got all the TPCs. I have Lookout Point, which is a very cool one. Cobble Beach up in my neck of the woods. Predator Ridge. Bayview, which got into the top 100 this year, 92. And Dundas Valley at 99. So there we go. And I will say that if I had my own personal rankings, if I was going to say what my favorite course that I've ever played in Canada would be, I would say it would be St. George's. St. George's is the best course I have ever played in my life, and it's the best course I've played in Canada. Not nearly as spectacular visually, of course, like a Cabot is, but St. George's is truly a special place, and it is my number one course I've ever played in my life.
I have a running tally of my ranking alongside the score ranking, and I'm convinced St. George's is the nicest golf course I'll ever play. I have to get out to Cabot. I absolutely have to do it. I'm going to knock Cobble Beach off, I think, when I go to your wedding this year.
That.
I think that's going to happen. But, man, I love to do it. And here's the thing. We got our whole lives to knock this list off. You can play golf until you're very old and very decrepit. And look, the way my life's going, I might not make it to very old, but I'm getting to very decrepit very quickly. So I got to get out there and take advantage of it. Absolutely loved it. McKee, I've had a blast playing so many of these tracks with you this year. And just one last time before we go on the golf show.
Yes, sir.
Big, big shout out to our girl. We are definitely part of Brooks Brigade, Brooke Henderson, second career major, 12th career win. What a stud. We're so proud of you, Brooke.
Congrats, Brooke. We love you.
We do. Thanks so much for listening to The Golf Show. As always, The Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Golf Show's back next Saturday right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.